Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Freedom Report podcast. And now a word from our sponsors. Will America survive its next election or let two-party corruption collapse the country into a second civil war? Blood Republic is a new political thriller which details what happens when the Electoral College ties and both parties claim victory. Blood Republic by James R. Duncan is available for download or in paperback on Amazon. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Austin Peterson here, former presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party, as well as owner of the LibertarianRepublic.com and LibertyViral.com. Thanks very much for tuning in to our podcast today. We've been having a lot of fun doing these shows since I got back to work. We built a studio here in Kansas City that I'm doing live streams as well. Some of you maybe have caught those on Facebook. But the Libertarian Republic is doing well. Josh Guckert is manning the fort at thelibertarianrepublic.com. And we got Liberty Laura heading up the freedom fight over at libertyviral.com, which has been fantastic because we've spun up this new website this summer. And some of you guys have seen it. It's already being called the lowest, the clickiest, baitiest website of all in libertarianism. But I always have to shoot fire back and just say, hey, listen, you got to understand, like, libertarianism being a cultural play, you've got to take over the culture. You've got to infect the mainstream with libertarian ideas. And so the problem is that we libertarians being nerds, which you probably less so if you listen to my show, because only really the coolest people listen to my show. If you're listening to my show right now, you're probably in the top 1% of all of humanity in terms of just coolness factor. And you know this because you're listening to my show. But when it comes to the marketing of like these podcasts and like all of our live streams and what we're doing right now, the strategy, we're growing the movement and we're doing it through the cultural play. So if you don't like libertyviral.com, read the libertarianrepublic.com. If you don't like the libertarianrepublic.com, read libertyviral.com. And soon we shall expand the universe and galaxies of websites which will be coming out of this, which will help fund our endeavors to spread the message of economic freedom and personal liberty. Now today, we're going to talk about the clickiest, baitiest topic of all time, where there is a teacher in Atlanta, Georgia, who teaches fourth grade, and she is in hot water. And everybody's kind of like, what do we do about this? Because it's basically she's getting in trouble because they say she's dressing a little too, the way she dresses is a little too provocative for fourth graders. But I wanted to bring in a special guest today, someone who I think has obviously legendary status with me. But that's my girlfriend. And at the risk of being accused of being a sexist, which I think my girlfriend thinks I might be a little one. Well, maybe we'll find out on the show today.
No.
Okay, we'll talk about it. But her name is Ashley Lewandowski. And I call her Lulu because I think that it's just cute and it describes her because she's cute. Of course, she's cute. She's my girlfriend. That's why I'm dating her, because she's the cutest thing ever. But I wanted to bring her on the show today because she had a lot to say about this topic. She reads the news with me in the morning and we look at the news and we talk about all the news. But I call her Lulu. So just so you know, when you hear me call her Lulu, that's who I'm talking about. But Ashley, welcome to the show, Lulu, Miss Lulu.
Thank you. Hello, everyone that's listening right now.
Okay, well, so we want to talk about a subject today that involves sort of, it's a gendered issue, right? It's about this female who is wearing the clothes, and we didn't do this as a live stream today because we didn't want to do video, because I thought to myself, if you saw this teacher, you would be scandalized, and you wouldn't pay attention to what I'm trying to say, because there's a serious point to be made on this kind of stuff. But if I did a video about this, it could be, you know, it's kind of tabloidish. But well, I'm not opposed to tabloids. I know Rupert Murdoch made a lot of money in tabloids, but Lulu, I'm going to read this story to the audience, and then we're going to talk about it. Okay?
Sounds good.
A teacher posted a photo of herself in a dress on Instagram, and the internet has gone crazy. Patrice Brown, dubbed hashtag teacher bae on Twitter and quote the sexiest teacher alive, has caused a social media meltdown since posting her picture, all because of her dress. But let's be honest, it wasn't just about one dress. She got some tight jeans too. Some Twitter users have suggested that Brown's outfit was inappropriate for her job, claiming that students would be distracted by her looks. Doug Stamper's Chin on Twitter says, it's pretty simple. Hashtag teacher bae looks nice. But these are not professional outfits for a classroom. Not about body type or race. Until you bring it up, until you say that, right? What do you think?
I think teacher bae's outfits are definitely professional. One image shows her with a brown body-fitting dress that's knee-length. She also is covered up with a tan beige-ish colored cardigan as well as some flats, which totally makes her body look wonderful. There's no
but isn't the problem
that
she's
flashed
but isn't
in
it
this
that she
photo?
Looks a little too wonderful? I mean, because here's the thing, what the problem is here, Lulu, is that she is wearing this dress and it seems to be of the appropriate length, but it is tight, and she is popping, man. Crack-a-lackin', I think, is the word that we're looking for here. I mean, she's popping out all over the place is really what I'm trying to say here. But they showed a picture in this. Look at this. They show two teachers here. We're looking at this one article, and they show a very, sort of non-built teacher, and she's a little bit, slimmer. But she's wearing pretty much the same kind of dress, and it's form-fitting, but there's not a lot, popping out everywhere, and so... Do you think that it's just a mark of them trying to kind of shame her body? Like, do you think that it's just because, she's built that way that people are throwing up a fence, that they're talking about it? And
yeah, I don't know if they are just kind of jealous of how blessed she is with her wonderful boobs. They are so big that I wish I had them. And her butt is actually...
It's crack-a-lackin'.
Don't want to go too far talking about her butt to make people think I'm a lesbo. She may turn me lesbo because I am so intrigued by her body I'm like, wow, do I need to get plastic surgery so I could look like her?
I was so nervous about bringing Ashley Lulu on the show today, but now that she's giving me exactly what I wanted for this show, because this is definitely the kind of hilarious viewpoint that I was hoping I would get from Miss Lulu, lovely girl. So let's continue on, because the controversy continues. You know, we've laid out the facts as they are on the field, right? So many suggest that, she's very enthusiastic. She says that she's happy with her body. She's not trying to necessarily flaunt it. But some people on Twitter were saying things like black women with curvy bodies are immediately judged and sexualized for something they have no control over. Well, I don't know that it's a racial issue. I mean, she is black, but when it comes to whether or not she's a black woman, I mean, if that was a white woman with that kind of insane body, anybody is going to kind of, she's thick though. She thick, and it's like what Drake sang in his song is
she has curves in all the right places.
She has curves in all the right places. She's very, very thick. But I mean, what's that? What was Drake? The Drake lyrics? He's like, make you so uncomfortable. She's so thick. She just make you uncomfortable when she walks in the room. She's talking about Nicki Minaj, right? He's like, it's so thick that it makes everyone so uncomfortable.
Does it really make you uncomfortable, or does it low key make you aroused and
she's gotta
just want to keep looking?
She's
which
got a face
is
like Claire
honestly
Huxtable.
A positive characteristic to have if other people looking at you or
what I really hate, Ashley, is that she can't help how she looks, and it's sort of it does feel oppressive in a sense, not like burqa level oppressive, but oppressive in a sense that she has to hide who she is if she's going to teach four-year students. You and I were joking earlier. If I had had a fourth grade student, and I did have some cute teachers, and you did too, I want you to tell your story too. But I had a cute teacher when I was a young boy, and man, did I crush on her. But I paid attention in that class. I wanted to please her. But I was in fourth grade. So I mean, how was I supposed to know? I wasn't trying to, do anything sleazy. And my teacher never did anything sleazy. It was just people can't help if they're beautiful. But it almost feels like it's kind of we hate people who are beautiful and we want to kind of cover them up. And there's some kind of weird instinct in humanity for that. And it expresses itself in with the Muslims, whether it's cover your face,
Yeah, Mr. Your Man.
Yeah, Mr. Still Your Man. Yeah. But I mean, what do you think? Do you feel that this is kind of a form of oppression against her? And is it about race or is it about, this is about gender? What's it about to you?
There could be a plethora of things as to why someone wanted to cover it. Maybe there was not exciting news that was going on in that certain point in time. And so, hey, this sexuality drives a lot of clicks. Mm-hmm. And I think it is about body shaming, and I don't see anything wrong with having some excitement when you go to school because you want to impress your teacher.
Yeah.
I had a very smoking hot coach and teacher.
Whoa.
And honestly, my track coach would be at the end
so
of our races
right
and I'd be like, I cannot lose. He's watching me and I'm not going to come in second. I want to show him that I am the best. And there's nothing wrong with having someone attractive and intelligent at the same time.
Sure.
who will allow you to push yourself. Yeah. And the power of physical attractiveness is, I think, starting to come into the limelight, and people are starting to see the power dynamics that being smoking hot and sexy can have.
Yeah, well, you're so right. And so here's the thing. I want to say this because, like, there are a lot of people who don't have looks who get angry at people who trade on their looks. And that occurs left and right. So let's talk about the two, like, philosophies of conservatism, which is really what we're discussing here, like, in a sense. They want her to be more conservative. This is an attempt to force conservative values on this teacher. And in a sense, and I do say force these values on the teacher because it is a form of force. And social pressure is not violence per se, but it is a form of you can be oppressive, like the burqa, you know, like, oh, you don't have to wear the burqa. Oh, except, you know, maybe we'll beat you if you don't. Or maybe this teacher would be fired if she doesn't change her outfit. But there's two forms of conservatism. There's left conservatism and there's right conservatism. And not all conservatism is right leaning. Some, like, for example, there are a lot of Democrats who are very religious and are very against legalizing drugs. And, you know, mostly the people who followed Martin Luther King, for example. Martin Luther King Jr. was a Christian. He was a strong Christian. He encouraged blacks to not only to he encouraged them during the civil rights era to accept Christ, right? That through Christ and through conservative values, if blacks would become more conservative, then they would be, you know, more integrated into society. In some ways, he's right. But when you see the effects of conservatism today, for example, this teacher bae, she's called hashtag teacher bae, just so you guys know. When you see the effects of conservatism, there is a sort of social justice warrior conservatism where, like, some lefties, for example, would be upset at her over this, and because they have conservative values too. So it's not as if, like, all conservatism is right-leaning necessarily, because we could talk for hours about, like, you know, Christians who are wanting her to cover up because of their value system. But think about this. There are a lot of, like, people, like, you know Trigglypuff?
Do you know who Trigglypuff is?
Okay, so, like, somebody like a Trigglypuff might be, like, jealous of her body, right? And so they would want her to cover up because of their own insecurities. So I guess what I'm getting at is, like, do you feel as if, like, a lot of the hatred that's pushed towards her teacher bae and through, like, you know, hot teachers in general, so that has to do with people's insecurities?
I think that could be one factor. Another one would be your own perception of beauty. Everyone has a different perception of what beauty is to them, and what they think is modest could be a totally different definition for modesty for another individual. Mm-hmm. And all of the outfits that I've seen, she is definitely modest. I see no cleavage. I don't see an excessive amount of leg showing. She honestly looks gorgeous.
But the dresses are tight.
Her pieces that she puts together, but they are very professional.
But here's my question to you. I mean, this woman is so insanely thick. Do you think, what kind of clothes could she potentially wear that would, in essence, satisfy these people? I guess is what I want to know is, like, what do they expect her to wear, like hoodies or something? Like what, a woman who is so incredibly built. I mean, she is like a statue of virtue to incredible black beauty. But my question to you is what honestly could she wear, Ashley? I mean, like, give me a realistic scenario here that wouldn't involve anything like a freaking hoodie, because that wouldn't even be professional. I mean, she's dressed professionally, in my opinion.
Well, it seems with just about 3/4 of all of her outfits covering her body, I don't know what else you want her to wear. Maybe a ankle-length skirt and then possibly a long-sleeve blouse. However, it's the summertime. Why does she have to be extremely hot in her choices of clothing that she decides to wear that day? I think that she looks perfectly fine. There's a photo of her wearing a long sleeve cotton shirt, which supports the Alabama State Hornets. Mm-hmm. And then she's wearing jeans, and she's wearing a hat as well as some stilettos.
Okay, so, and we've got some breaking news.
With a peace sign.
We've got some breaking news for the podcasters who are listening right now. It's breaking if you're listening to this on the 15th of September. But she just accepted my request.
Woohoo!
On Instagram. She had a private account, which doesn't seem to make any sense because she's got 214,000 followers. 214,000, just so you know. I was excited when I saw that I had 14,000. Followers the other day. I was like, ooh, 14,000 followers on Instagram.
No. She's doing something right.
She's doing something right. But it's funny because she's kind of like filtering them all. So, you know what's funny is if you think about this is just like stupid, but if she's got 214,000 followers and something like 200,000 of them came in the last few weeks when this controversy blew up. Hold on.
Bless you.
Thank you. If you think about it, if she got 200,000 followers, that means that she had to go in and accept 200,000 friend requests. Can you imagine having to go in and like manually review and accept 214,000 friend requests like that? Like, whatever you think about her, something like that, can you just picture her sitting there on her phone like, accept.
Yeah, y'all need to stop bothering her and let her grade some homework.
Well, exactly. But I mean, the funny thing to me is just that, like, you know, at some point, wouldn't you just say, okay, if you're going to allow 214,000 people to follow you on Instagram, you're going to
make it public.
Just make it public. Yeah, so you don't have to sit there and do that. So maybe this fourth grade teacher needs a lesson on social media dynamics, but we'll see. So, all right. So moving on. So she appears to be religious as well. You know, she says God first on her Instagram profile. She seems to be fairly patriotic. She seems to have a good attitude.
A lot of her outfits, I could see her wearing at a church. So I think people are just going a little bit overboard with some of her photos. I mean, her Instagram photos are her own personal life, which I'm sure she doesn't wear those to class. So I think people are looking too into these photos, perhaps, maybe on her Instagram, but the ones that we've seen of her in the classroom, legitimately, they are completely fine, and I think they pass the dress code.
Don't say that until we get to the bottom of her Instagram account, because the thing is like, a lot of times...
I haven't seen any of them in the classroom.
Okay, I just got to the bottom of her Instagram account, okay? I've kind of, like, we've eyeballed through sort of some of the... oh my lord, she is beautiful. We'll just say.
Yeah, she's rocking.
Yeah, so she's like, she almost queen bey status, but not quite there. But if you're a student and, you know, you follow her on Instagram and stuff like that, it's definitely, we didn't have access to this kind of technology. So if I was in fourth grade, you know, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here. If I was in fourth grade and I had an amazingly hot teacher who I totally would have a crush on, absolutely, and she had an Instagram account back then, like, I probably would have gotten in some trouble, right? Like, I probably would have been, like, liking photos and slipping into the DMs, is what I'm saying here.
Well, yeah, and that's probably why she has her account private, and so she is manually accepting friend requests or not accepting friend requests.
214,000, though. I mean, you don't think that a few slipped in here and there? Because I would have been like, sock account, and hello, I am a random person. Because she may have accepted mine because mine's like an official account, right? But it looks, you know, fairly professional. But if you were one of her students, don't you think that there's... I'm trying to play devil's advocate here. Don't you think there's a chance that for trouble?
Yeah, and I'm sure that the Arizona Public School District... reprimanded her for the code of ethics for social media use. So I'm sure she understands which protocol she has to abide by. And if she didn't do what she was supposed to, then she probably wouldn't have this account. Mm-hmm. Or if things do go a little bit farther than they should, then perhaps maybe she's going to have to take down her account. But as of right now, it seems to be as if she hasn't been charged with anything illegal for her use of social media. Yeah. Why can't she have a life? Can you let her live?
Yeah, she looks like, I mean, you know, she says, she posted an inspirational quote on her Instagram page, said, "This too shall pass." And I think, you know, she's just trying to respond as positively as possible to all of the criticism that she's getting. I'm looking at her most recent photograph, which was posted 2 days ago, and she's got a lot of support there. Love your positive attitude. You look beautiful. Everybody hating is jelly. You know, she's probably become a bit of a role model, too, if you think about it. Because think about all, like, the girls who are in school who maybe are a little bit older and maybe they're developing and they feel as if, like, you know, they get a lot of attention and some of it is negative attention. Because we do give girls, like, developing girls a hard time sometimes when they're developing. And that can affect the ladies. It can affect the guys, too. But
just flaunt it if you got it.
Well,
and if you don't got it, just show confidence.
Well, I think the point is that there does have to be some sort of a line between, like, what is appropriate and what is not appropriate, because there is some point, like, you know, if you walk into the class with a full blown bikini, that's inappropriate, correct? So I guess
dress code.
It appears that she is following the dress code, but if you had to say what would be the line, what do you think would be the line? So my question to you, Lulu, is what do you think would be inappropriate for a teacher to wear for fourth grade?
Well, I think you can't wear spaghetti straps, like any type of tank tops, or you can't wear anything that's longer than the end of your fingertips. That's how you, as a female, have to judge whether or not your skirt is too short or not too short. You take your hands next to your legs, mm-hmm. and you see where your middle finger mm-hmm. touches, and if it goes past it, then you're in the clear. That's how females look to see if their outfit is appropriate or not, and her outfits go to her knee and below. So I do not see what the huff and puff is all about with her finding clothes that make her body look great. Why can't she have confidence when she goes into the classroom? And I know that you can have a lot of influence in learning with physical attractiveness after reading some of the studies that have been conducted. And I know, being a lifeguard, I was able to teach young females and males, and I don't know if me being in a bikini inspired them to be locked in on what I was saying and all the different types of strokes that I was teaching them. Maybe it caught on, but I don't know if me showing too much skin had a lot of effect on them learning, but I was able to still teach a survival skill to someone in just a bikini. So don't tell me that clothes have a factor on whether or not a child can learn or not.
But didn't you just say sort of the opposite, in sense that, like, when you said, like, you have to put your hand on a finger length, right? So, I mean, there have to be some standards, right? At some point, are you being too sexy? Because, I mean, if you were wearing a bikini and teaching the students, then why can't she teach in school in a bikini?
I was just talking about in the school itself that, yeah, okay, she is.
Are you not going to answer that question?
Oh, what I was saying, that it may be contradicting as to why I gave an example of being a lifeguard and then
you said a teacher
talking about
no spaghetti straps. You said no spaghetti straps specifically.
Because that is the code of conduct that you have to abide by. And yeah, those are a set of norms that you submit yourself to. And she knows going in as a teacher, she has to abide by those rules.
Yeah.
And she willingly accepted that set of rules, and she's abiding by them.
Yeah.
I'm just giving an example of, like, different professions, and clothing can or
may not have a factor in
the influence of learning.
Well, it is interesting. You know, I guess if you think about it, it's all about context.
Yeah.
Right? So because if you're in a pool, then, it, you know, the context of you wearing a bikini makes sense. But if you're in a primary learning school or a facility and you're a fourth grade student, then perhaps, you know, it's important for you to have some sort of rules set for decorum. But it's difficult because even you set some rules of decorum. And some people, perhaps feminist extremists, might say any attempt to regulate women's body control, even an institution such as a primary learning institution, would be a violation of a female's autonomy, for example. So there are always extremists, right? I guarantee you can go out there and find at least one person to say that. You know, that's how some people, like, shape the news, is they go out and they find two people that agree with them, and then they blast them on nightly news, and they're like, see, like, people believe this. You know, it's like Tobias the never nude from Arrested Development. There are dozens of us, dozens. But anyways,
there has to be some sort of middle ground. And
yeah.
I understand, yeah, you have to compromise with some of the clothing that you wear.
Right.
And I don't think she is pushing the limits with her choices of clothing whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean,
she's not wearing any two tops or anything like that.
Yeah, I gotta admit, you know, I kind of chafe on the body standards, and, like, you know, there are some sexist double standards. I don't know that it's a racial standard, that it's because she's black that, you know, that this is necessarily, you know, they make it an issue about her. I mean, like, you know, are black women thick? Sure, but I mean, so are lots of white women, and I mean, it's not a racial issue. This whole complex, and bring this all back together. But when it comes to, like, what the theme of this is, the real theme of this, if you're supposed to learn something from what is, in essence, sort of a tabloidish story, is that there are some double standards. Two, that conservatives of both stripes, left, right, exist, and that America is a very puritanical nation. We have a history of Puritans. In Europe, they have naked women on billboards and nobody cares. Like, kids drink at 16 years old and it's just not an issue. They're much more socially liberal than the United States. So social conservatism exists, and the attempt to sort of, like, adhere to puritanical values exists in the United States much more so than other places around the world. I think this story is an example of that. And to me, I guess I'm always trying to figure out, and, like, you know, it's a hard time. I asked you a very hard question. This is a hard question for the audience as we end the show. And I'll give you the final word, Ashley, if there's anything you want to say. Is the line, is it essentially that this is very subjective and that the line is drawn? Everybody has a different line. Because if you sat down and asked, you know, 10 people or a pool of people sort of what their standards ought to be for what you should or shouldn't be able to wear in a classroom, then I think almost everybody's going to give you a different response. So I'll end with that. And Ashley, whatever you'd like to finish with.
Well, some countries want you to take off your burqas, say in France. So like what amount of skin or are you going to have to be forced to cover up your skin? Like it's hard to come to a middle ground when it comes to trying to decide what is appropriate and what is not appropriate for our culture. And I was reading about Samuel Huntington's Clash of the Civilizations. It's just going to end with cultures clashing with ideas, language, religion. And I think that's what it all comes down to. And we need to be accepting of other people's cultures. But however, why can't you live your own life when what Teacher Bay is doing right now is not hurting anyone because what she is doing is not over extreme.
Yeah. Offense, taking offense is regional, but satire is universal. It was a story published on Libertarian Republic. It's that if you take offense at something, it has to do with the region that you were raised. Because if you give people like if you give people the middle finger in the United States, which I'm giving to Lulu right now, then that's offensive, right? But if you make a come here gesture in another country,
at least the middle finger's coming from a sexy man,
right? but the thing is if you're offended by something, it has to do more with the geographic origin of your birth than the satire. Satire is the kind of thing that's universal, and that we should all be allowed to make satire about things, which is what this podcast is, having fun and making a little satire and comedy about the news.
And
objective. We're trying to be objective.
Perspective,
here. Yeah. Exactly. All right. Well, I just want to say thank you very much to the lovely Ashley Lewandowski for coming on my show today and talking about these difficult topics.
Thank you for having me, yep. Austin Peterson.
Thank you very much for coming on.
I appreciate it.
Yep, of course. It was a good time. This was fun. And thanks for telling us about your hot teacher story, your track coach. I used to like him. I'm jealous.
So many people loved his ocean blue eyes.
Okay, that's enough.
It is
boo.
Something that all the listeners need to take a look at.
All
then
right.
You would understand how impactful his eyes abilities.
And now all of a sudden his Instagram is going to blow up to like 200,000 followers from the people who watch this. Don't say his name in the show.
I will not.
Okay. Actually, no.
Or do you want me to?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to the Freedom Report podcast. Hope you enjoyed this little fun show that we had today. Do you like these shows? Do you like our live streams? Do you watch me on Facebook? Because I do some really cool stuff with my live streams over on Facebook. And it's been amazing because I've been uploading these live video streams that I've been doing in front of a green screen. I've got a cool studio set up. It's really awesome. And if you're not watching them, you really should. So go over to my Facebook page. It's Austin Peterson Peterson. Go over to my Facebook page, like the page if you don't already, which you better, and then click the notifications button and get live notifications. So that way when you're on Facebook, if I go live, boom, you're going to get an alert. So you'll know whenever I'm talking about the latest Breaker King news or just see what's going down. Because there's a big party that goes on and the people who are my live streamers are nuts. And they've formed all these kind of crazy sub communities like Tubbies for AP. It's like these are like the chunky people who like to eat and talk about Austin Peterson. But no, you don't have to join the Tubbies group. There are a lot of really cool people over there on Facebook following the page, and it's a great conversation. And you know what's actually really cool is that a lot of people, they say what a cesspit Facebook comment sections have become. But I really feel as if like there's a lot of really good productive discussion that goes on in my pages, and like we try and keep it clear-headed and reasonable and rational and well-sourced and documented and be skeptical. And you know, yeah, we're snarky too. That's the fun thing about my people and my followers and fans and the people who are listening to me right now is that like we can be intelligent and you can have smart conversations, even about tabloid journalism, and make a larger point and be educated, but you don't have to not have fun. I really, really hate the sort of culture in the United States that is that puritanical culture. It's like, you can't have fun. As a matter of fact, it reminds me of a story about Emma Goldman, who was an anarchist female. She was a woman who, in the early part of the 20th century, the progressive era, was an anarcho-communist and gave speeches at Webster Hall and was very inspiring. And she was out dancing one night, and this young revolutionary came up to her and says that, you know, that revolutionaries can't dance, is that it's not appropriate for a revolutionary to dance. And she looked at him right in the eyes and said, "I don't want a revolution if I can't dance.
I just want to dance.
I just want to dance." Very funny, very funny. Yeah, exactly. I just want to dance. I just want to dance. Well, that's the thing, is what is that? Why do we have freedom? Do we have freedom because we you know, want to sit in our gray parlors and wait until the day that we die? You know what I mean? And it's like, that's kind of what puritanical culture wants to force on us. You know, H.L. Mencken had a fantastic quote. "Puritanism is the haunting fear that someone, somewhere, might be happy." That some fourth grade teacher or the student might be happy, might be sitting in class, getting an eyeful, and having the best day of his life.
And so, encouraging their parent to go to the teacher conferences.
Exactly, so like the fathers will be
like
lined
that's a
up.
Bad thing.
Right, yeah, exactly. If you had a hard time getting people to go to the parent teacher conference, and all of a sudden you don't, right? Every father's lined up around the block. Oh, but he doesn't even teach my kid. The kid's not in a class. So what are you? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you guys are awesome. Subscribe on Facebook. Twitter is AP for LP. TheLibertarianRepublic.com has a subscription so you don't get ads. $5 a month. Sign up. That way you guys don't get the annoying ads, and it's so much more fun. You're like integrated into the community. You can cancel at any time. $5 a month, $55 a year. Subscribe to Freedom Report Podcast. I got a lot of plugs here, but I mean, we got a lot to do. We got to make money.
Do it.
Love you guys. Thanks a lot for listening to the show.